give the old earpiece, let's give it a try. Okay, you can bring it up slow. Amen. If you got your cell phones, you may want to go ahead and turn them off. Everybody say, it's a great day to be alive.
Great day to be alive.
Amen. If you're alive. Let me tell you this, there's five ways to get rid of your pastor. That's right, your pastor. You can turn it up a little bit more, Kelvin. Five ways to get rid of your pastor. Number one, sit up front and smile and say amen every time he says something good, and he'll preach himself to death. Amen. Just telling you, if you're tired of me and want to get rid of me, this is a good way to get rid of me. Number two, pat him on the back and tell him what a good work he's doing in the church and community. He'll work himself to death. Number three, increase your offering to the church. He will suffer from shock. Number four, tell him you've decided to join the visitation group and help win souls, and he will probably suffer a heart attack. Five, get the whole church to band together and pray for him, and he will get so efficient that some other church will hear about him and give him a call, and that will take him off your hands. Amen. It was funny last time I read it. Okay. I want to give you a teaching this morning that I think the Lord is wanting to do something with this. I was reading through Psalms chapter 23, and God wants to encourage, God wants to heal, God wants to do mighty things in our midst. He wants to demonstrate who He is and His love for His people. And in Psalms 23, I'm going to ask you guys to go ahead and pull up the... I got a little guide that I'm going to put up here in PowerPoint. If you can go ahead and click it up for me. Debbie, you pull it up. It's already in your song queue. All you got to do is just tap it and it'll come up. There you go. And you may want to go ahead and... I guess we can run it like that. That'll be okay. If you want to go ahead and click the file button or click the slideshow tool, and you can actually hit presentation, it'll give you the whole screen. There you go. Nope. Go up to where it says slideshow with your little mouse. If I could do it for you, I would. Let's see. Well, let's just get going. A perfect God. Everybody say, we serve a perfect God. A perfect God means there is no fault in God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48 says, be ye perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, I've searched the world over. I've looked at every religion there is. I've looked at every religion, looked at what they believe, and I find flaws in their God. But we serve a God in which there are no flaws. There is no impurities. There is no immoralities. There is no mistakes. God has a purpose and a plan for everything. Oh, good, you got it. And so God, this perfect God that we serve, comforts us with this psalm written by David. And David was the hand, the ready rider, on the backside of the desert, tending his sheep, and God was giving him psalms. And this is probably one of the most beautiful psalms, most famous ever written. And there's just jewels and nuggets in this psalm. So if you will just read it with me, and then we'll take it apart and look at it. I believe God will speak something to your life today. In Psalms, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There you go. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Praise God. Amen. A perfect psalm written by a perfect God. And the first thing I'd like you to say, if you'll go to the next slide. No, you weren't supposed to go through all the slides. Going back to number one, thank you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Folks, we serve a perfect Savior giving us perfect salvation. Praise God. You know, Jesus was the Lamb without spot or blemish. Pontius Pilate, when Jesus stood before him, said, I find no fault in this man. Why are you giving him up to be slain or to be criminalized? And the Old Testament lambs were examined before they were offered up as sacrifices for the sins of Israel, and they would have to find a lamb without spot or blemish, because this would be the sacrifice that atoned for the sins of Israel. And here we see Jesus standing before Pontius Pilate, standing as the Savior, the Lamb without blemish, to be slain for you and I's sin. You know, folks, I don't know if you realize it or not, but God offered His very best for you and I. He didn't take a second-rate Savior. He didn't take a flawed human being. He took and gave Himself and clothed Himself with flesh and came down to planet Earth and gave His life for us. And not only was the perfect Savior crucified, but He gave us a perfect salvation, which means that there is no better plan for atonement. You can't do good works. You can't be a good Christian boy or girl and go to heaven and get yourself saved. Only the blood of Jesus, only the sacrifice of Calvary will save yourselves and take away your sins. There is no other name written under heaven by which men can be saved. It's Jesus, the Son of God. A perfect Savior that has given you perfect salvation. Now, perfect means you don't have to add to it. You don't take away from it. It stands on its own. Folks, your salvation that God has given you, you can walk with it. You can go anywhere with it. You can test it. You can bring it into hell itself, and it will stand. There's no foe in hell that can take away your salvation. The Bible says that death nor life nor principalities of power, there's nothing on earth, in heaven or on earth, that can take away your salvation and rob what God has done from you. It is a perfect salvation. So therefore, the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody go, bah. Hallelujah. We are the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's not a bad shepherd. Amen. Everybody say, God is a good God. There's no bad in God. There's only good in God. Hallelujah. And He has overcome the evil one, and that is the devil. And there's no good in the devil. There's only bad in the devil. Everybody say, bad. Yeah, so we don't let the devil into our sheepfold. Amen. He's the wolf, and he stays outside. God is the good shepherd. He protects us. He tends His sheep. He puts a hedge around His people. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because God is with you, and many are those that are for you than that they are that against you. Come on. Nothing can touch you. No sickness, no demon, no mental anguish. Nothing can come against the people of God. No heart failure. God is on your side. Hallelujah. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is on your side. Praise God. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means there's nothing in my life that is lacking. You know, when you step into Christ, there's nothing in your life that is incomplete. God completes everything. You may not see the manifestation of it right now, but in your life, God is making you perfect just as He is perfect. You know, a lot of people have a hard time with that. They say, oh, you know, they ain't nobody perfect but the man upstairs. Let me tell you what, if you put on Christ, you are perfect as He is perfect. God would never tell us to be perfect as He's perfect unless it was possible. Why would God give you something impossible? He doesn't frustrate His people. He doesn't frustrate His children, but the word perfect actually means to be complete, to be mature, to not be lacking. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall be perfect as He is perfect. I shall be complete as He is complete. I shall be mature as He is mature. Amen. And so when somebody comes against you like that old devil, Amen. They shake their finger at you and say, you know what? You ain't going to make it. You can't serve God. You hypocrite. Look what you did. Said, you know what? In Jesus Christ, I am made complete. I am made whole. I'm hiding under the blood. Praise God. You know, when you're not good enough, folks, get under the blood. You know, when you didn't pray enough, get under the blood. You know, when you said something you shouldn't have said, get under the blood. Amen. When you went and did something you shouldn't have done, get under the blood. Don't stand out there and try to fight the devil head up and try to be good and say, well, I'll just overcome that evil that I did by just trying to do 100 good things. You're going to mess up again. One thing I found out about sin is once you start sinning, you keep sinning. You know, it's almost like a sugar habit. You know, once you get in that refrigerator and you grab some banana pudding, you know, and you have a bowl of it, you say, well, Lord, I done blown that thing, you know. I might as well go ahead and have me some cheesecake over here too, you know. You know, and you say, well, man, while I'm at it, you know, I mean, look at that big old piece of roast beef sitting over there with some gravy on it. And you just start helping. Well, sin's kind of like that. Once you step in and you step over a line and you begin to transgress, you go, well, you know, since I did this, you know, I'm feeling pretty dirty. I might as well just go ahead and just jump all the way in it. And that's how sin does. It's not the sin itself. It's the nature of sin, the law of sin and death. That nature is what captures you. When you step out of your salvation and you begin to walk in the law of sin and death, it's not just that you've sinned. It's now you're under a principle that brings death. So it'll just keep pulling on you, keep pulling on you, keep pulling on you until it drags you finally to the ground. And the final manifestation of it is estrangement from God and a punishment of eternity away from Him. That is the end of the law of sin and death. It only brings death, not life. But the good news is, brothers and sisters, is that you're not under the law of sin and death. You're under grace. Everybody say, I'm under grace, and I'm under the shepherd, and I'm in the sheep pen. Praise God. Hey, no other place to be, folks, but in the sheep pen. Don't you get out of that sheep pen. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Everybody say, follow God. He says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You want to talk about the end times? Who's afraid of the big, bad Antichrist? Anybody in here? Because Jesus says the Antichrist can't snatch you out of his hand. I'm telling you, come on, the government can't snatch you out. I've watched governments around the world that have just totally blanketed the place with atheism, socialism, communism, anything you can imagine, every kind of spirit, every kind of threat, and God's people stand strong and hold against the test. You know, I was remembering just about, let's go on to the next slide. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside the still waters. The perfect God of salvation also gives us perfect rest and refreshment. You know, folks, there is a rest for the people of God. And sometimes you can be in a still place and still be just as frustrated and just in full of turmoil, but God has called you to be at peace. He's called you to be at rest. You know, true peace and true rest is not the lack of activity. It's the ability to be able to rest in God's assurance, even in the midst of a storm. Amen. Jesus was so much at peace and so much at rest that He slept through a storm. You see, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are around you. When you learn that God loves you, as we sang about in that. Wasn't that song that we sang, wasn't that just beautiful today? Do you feel God's pleasure coming in? See, when you step into the love of God, there's rest. How many of you remember that scripture? It says perfect love. How many of you know we serve a perfect God with perfect love? The Bible says perfect love casts out what? All fear. See, fear is what brings you into storms, the storms of fear. I've never really had a greater battle than when fear comes on my life. You feel like everything is wrong and you wonder if you can even stand. You ever been in that place? You know, sometimes the storms of life just come upon you and the waves are just beating against you, And then all of a sudden, you know, you wonder, say, God, can I even stand? But then all of a sudden, God's grace comes in. And when His grace comes in, that's His love. When you understand that He loves you, then all fear will abate. It will have to leave. I remember the little, they had two pictures, and I've given this illustration before, but they had a picture of a secular artist, and he gave this these two drawings, and in one drawing, they had a picture of a mountain scene with a lake, wasn't even a ripple in the lake, and they had the little sunrise going off, the skies were orange, and then in another photograph or painting that he did, he had another painting where they had a raging waterfall that was just screaming over the rocks, and they had a little bird in a nest, and the branch went out over the waterfall, and the waterfall looked like it could wash it away in any second. And there they had the bird's mother was just sitting there with its arm stretched over the little bird in the nest. And when the secular artist was asked which one depicts more the peace and rest, he says, not the serenity picture, but the picture of the protection of the mother over the little bird. Can I tell you that the protection of God gives you rest today? And it gives you a place of refreshment. We preached last week on the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you the Holy Spirit wants to refresh you today? I feel like there was a refreshment that went on. You know, first He gets you to a place of rest, and then He pours out refreshment. Next scripture, please. Verse 3, He restores my soul. Perfect restoration. Everybody say perfect restoration. Can I tell you that God is in the business of bringing you back, not just to where you've been, but those of you that have slipped back, God wants to bring you to a higher place. God always restores higher than when we fall. And you know, you say, well, how can that be? Because you know what? Once you fall and once you miss the mark and you learn that it's not in your strength, but it's in His strength, then you become a greater Christian. Because it's not your abilities, help me somebody, it's His ability. And so when you go through a valley, when you go through a hard time, you say, God, I just give up, I can't do it. God says, now you're in a place where I can use you. And you say, you know, Peter, he said, Lord, he said, I'll never deny you. And what did Jesus say? He says, Peter, you'll deny me three times. He said, even before the rooster crows, and Peter did it. He's out on a back doorstep just crying and weeping and boo-hooing. And the next thing that happens is that suddenly we find Peter restored in Acts. Hallelujah. And he wasn't the same Peter. Now he was filled with power instead of fear. Now he was filled with humility instead of pride. Now he was preaching and starting the first church rather than fighting over who was going to be the greatest. When refreshing comes upon you and restoration comes upon you, it is a perfect work. Hallelujah. I want you just to say, God will complete what He started. Amen. Nudge your neighbor and I say, neighbor, He's going to finish that work in you. You know, a lot of times in the ministry world, people look at what they can do as to what their worth is. And I want to tell you, folks, it's not about what you can do. It's about what He's already done. And so who you are in Christ is not how many devils you've cast out or how many souls you saved. These are all wonderful things. But really, who you are in Christ and the revelation of that you can do nothing without Him, that is your growth and maturity level. Praise the Lord. It's not about what you do for the Lord that depicts your maturity. It's about how much of yourself can get out the way and how low you can lay yourself and the revelation, the realization of how big God can be in your life. See, I can't do anything of my own. You know, we walked out here this morning. I told the musicians in the back, I said, guys, I said, it's already done. I walked in the church this morning. I felt the presence of God. It was just here. I said, we don't have to do this. You know, come on, God, show up. Look, you people are... We didn't have to do none of that to get God to show up. We didn't have to put on a show for Him. He just decided to show up because He's God. And because the people of God decided to come into the house and worship Him. And so when we walked in the back, I just had this boom. I just like, wow. I said, not only has He done the worship set already for us, but He's already taken care of every need in the house. Help me, somebody. So He's even working on your need before you ask Him. He just needs you to go ahead and ask so you can prove to Him that He's working on your behalf. Oh, come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I mean, you know, I'm telling you what, faith is what pleases God. And when you know that God is answering your prayers, He's already pleased and moving because He knows that you trust Him and believe in Him. Man, I tell you what, God is in the house this morning. And if you knew the power of God that was moving and living in your life, you'd go ahead and shift it in another gear and says, I can do all things. You know, folks, be careful. I don't want to get anybody out of their place of rest, but be careful that you don't sit there with your stick shift in neutral saying, I'm waiting on God, when God's saying, I'm waiting on you. I've already done things for you. You know, I believe personally that God has gone out before us and He's just got all these presents that are just planted. It's almost like walking in and you're Easter egg hunting and you pick up an egg and there's the Easter egg, you know? It's kind of like what it is what God's done. You go everywhere and there's a little present waiting for you, and all you got to do is just go out there and it's waiting. You'll just step into it and boom, up plants this blessing. See, but you got to move forward. Faith moves forward. Faith is always in motion. It's in action. It believes God. It doesn't sit back and saying, oh, one day I'm going to be worthy enough. One day, you know, God's going to look favorably on His servant. No, He was over there blessing David on the backside, giving him words and revelation that would change the world even today as we preach. Praise God. Perfect restoration. He restoreth my soul. Next slide, please. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Perfect guidance. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. The military has got the most awesome guidance systems in the world. I mean, they can sit there and infrared things down from satellites. They can tell you what kind of coffee you're drinking, if you're drinking Starbucks or community brand coffee. They can tell you what's reading on the inside of your coffee cup. They can send missiles right in there and get it right on the point, knock out anything. But can I tell you, God's guidance system is even more accurate than that. Because God's guidance system looks down the road and sees the future and knows what's up for your life. And if you'll listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, God will guide you in perfect path. Next slide, please. He does this for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is perfect protection and comfort. Praise God. Folks, can I tell you, the devil can't touch you. He can't. You remember what he said to Job? God told Job, he told Satan, that Satan came up there. Notice Satan had to ask for an audience with God. He didn't bust in the room and said, I want to talk to God. He had to seek an audience. And God said, okay, speak up. He said, there's a man on the earth. He said, his name is Job. And God says, yeah. He says, consider Job. Consider Job. He's a perfect man. Amen. He's a man that I can trust. And he said, well, let me mess him up. Let me just kind of mess him up, mess with him. And God says, no. He says, you can do whatever you want to him. Job ain't going to back off. Because Job knows me. And I know him. How many of you would like God to be able to say that about you? You see, when the devil comes in, you know, we go like, oh my God, I don't want to go out and open up my home again and let people in. Last time I did that, the devil busted me up. Folks, you ain't got to worry about the devil. If he busts something up, it wasn't protected in the first place. You know, a lot of times, let me just jump on this for a little while. Sometimes we build things and we get these things that we just put together, whether they're ministries or machines or just lifestyles, and we expect them to hold up against the devil, and we didn't create that. I mean, God didn't create that. We created the mess. We're creating Ishmaels and asking God to bless and protect Ishmaels. And a lot of times, God will let the enemy come in and ruffle things up because he's got to get those Ishmaels and get those things out of your life. Because if he allows them to stay up there, somebody help me here, but your family line is going to be cursed. I mean, this might be going over some of your heads, but I really feel like this is hitting some people right now. You can't keep doing things the way you want to do it and not listen to God's word. You've got to live by the word. You've got to say, God, whatever your laws and your precepts are, I will follow them. Whatever you say, God, is sin. You know what, I just want to speak to some of the young people, and really singles and married, everybody. But you know, one of the things that you can really mess yourself up with is to go get in a relationship you don't need to be in. You know, we were at J.H. Ranch, and Sarah just got back. I wish I could let her testify. Life changed. Jenny's just coming in. We got a bunch of the... by the way, I want to recognize... I didn't get to recognize Natty and Richard. Would y'all stand to your feet? We got some pastors in the house this morning. Amen. Richard's dad went to be with the Lord this year. And that's his sister, Rochelle. Rochelle, why don't you stand up too? Amen. Rochelle's a blessing. Natty got and Richard got married just over a little over a year ago. And Richard's dad went to be with the Lord. He was a pastor. And so Natty and Richard, newlyweds, had to take over a church and become pastors their first year of marriage. And so they've been up there just doing a great job. And, you know, they're just a great testimony of what God can do. And I mean, you know, God can just throw this thing on you in the last minute. I mean, he can just dump it on you. All of a sudden, you'll be sitting there, and you'll be going, God, I'm praying. And all of a sudden, boom! And you're going, wow, Lord, I didn't expect it all at once. You know, and that's kind of what happened with them. They just got the whole thing, and now they're overseeing a church, and Natty's 6 months expecting a baby now, and so... Hallelujah. You know, so they got a full plate. And I'm just real excited for them. But, you know, they're not living in fear like, oh, my God, you know. They're living in a place where there's more happening than they can take care of, so they need the grace of God there. And that's where we want to be. But I want to get back into this thing about relationships. Thank God for Richard and Anna. I mean, they did it right. Did y'all kiss before y'all... For y'all, no, you don't have to answer. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. On your engagement day, yeah, baby. All right, that's good. You know, but look what happens when you get into the right relationship. See, when you get into the right relationship, God blesses. And you know, I'm telling you, one of the things that can mess you up faster than anything is getting the wrong relationship and get involved in an illegal relationship that God hadn't blessed, or one where you start getting too physical with a relationship that you're not even sure if God has blessed. Then what ends up happening is Ishmaels start happening. And if you want to mess yourself up and get out of a place where the enemy, because what happens is when you begin doing things, the wall of protection begins to lift. Sin will remove the wall of protection quicker than anything. And the enemy, he piggybacks in on when we're doing things, when we're not being places where we're not wanting. I'm telling you, if you're hanging out in the casinos, and when you're pulling down that arm, I mean, you're really lifting the curtain. You know, when you're sitting there and you're watching things on TV you shouldn't be watching, I mean, the curtain, folks, is coming up. It's not so much the devil's going to come in and just all of a sudden take over you and... You know, he doesn't do that. It's more like all of a sudden you start losing your mind. And your mind no longer thinks godly thoughts, and it no longer has a hedge built around it, but you begin allowing your mind to do things, and you begin to start doing things. Because once your mind begins going there, it's just a matter of time before your body and your spirit man follows it. See, so I'm just telling you, if you will walk with God, then you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But if you will not walk with God, you walk through the shadow of death, fear is going to be all over you, because rightfully so, you're not covered. See, you're only covered when you're walking under the grace of God. And that's obedience. I really want to get this clear to you, because folks, we're living in a time that we're walking or going to soon be walking through shadows and through valleys. And you need to walk in obedience. You need to be able to withstand the devil. But this morning, I want to talk in this verse, I want to talk about the people that are walking with God this morning. It says that I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what that rod and staff is? That's the authority of God. Whenever Moses lifted up his rod, what happened? Red Sea parted. Whenever he stretched out his rod, water came out of the rock. No matter where you're at or what you're doing, folks, God's authority is all-powerful and all-protecting over you. Perfect guidance, perfect protection and comfort. Verse 5, the next slide, please. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, I love this one. And you anoint my head. You know, one of my favorite things is, and you know, you're not supposed to gloat, but I like it a little bit when everybody's said things against me and God will set a table for me. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm eating really good from a really good God table, and He lines up all of my enemies, and they sit there and they'll watch me just eating. How many of you feel like feasting today? Amen? I mean, because that's what it's all about, is taking the things of God and just kind of going, yeah, man, that's good. That's good stuff. And your enemies are just sitting there going, what? Wait a minute. God's blessing him. And they're still trying to curse you, and they see God's blessing on you, and they can't curse you anymore. They can curse all they want, but God's blessing is on you. My goodness. You know, I tell you, this church is the table that God has set before you. Amen. You know, I had people came and said things, and I don't want to get into all this, you know, them and us kind of thing, but there were many people that basically said, you know, that my life was finished. I'd never be in ministry. I'd never pastor. I'd never do anything. They said, you know, we don't even know what kind of a person you are. And just all these voices. Can I tell you about lying spirits for a minute this minute? Y'all know what a lying spirit is. A lying spirit is a spirit that works through a person that opens their mouth and yields their mind to yap whatever's given to them. You remember in the book of Kings, I believe, is God says, who will go and deceive the kings? And a lying spirit says, I'll go. And got every one of them killed at a battle. So, you know, God, for people that are walking in disobedience, you know, and when I hear people under the influence of lying spirits, you know, I have to take a step back. Because there's only one thing to do with a lying spirit. Somebody help me. Cut their head off. And if you can't cut their head off, because you'll go to jail for that, the best thing to do is just get out of shouting range. Amen? Don't sit around. If somebody gets on the telephone and say, you know, brother, I just don't see how I got... You say, excuse me, I got to go. I don't know about you, but I can tell when somebody opens their mouth and the first sentence that goes by, I know whether I'm going to talk or hang up that phone. You know, I didn't know if you really wanted to hear this. No, I don't want to hear that. Well, brother, brother so-and-so. No, I don't really want to hear that. Well, Pastor, how can you do that? I don't want to hear that either. You can tell somebody opens up their mouth, the tone that comes out of their mouth, if it's something of faith or if it's a lying spirit that wants to pull you down. And the Bible says that God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I want you to see right now that every enemy that you have in your life right now are sitting at a table, and they on the other side. So I went through all these voices and all these things in my head, and all of a sudden we started this little church up in an upstairs room of a camp. And I was wondering, God, is anybody even going to show up? I had Steve June over there yelling at me, telling me that I had one chance to preach, and he'd never come back again unless it was good. I had other people outside. I'm not even, they're not here today, but you know, they were basically throwing threats and just all kinds of stuff going on. And I was looking, I said, man, what is going to happen? In the first service, it was packed out. And I said, God, look, you're setting the table. And then the word got out that God was blessing Praise Church. God was with Praise Church. God was everybody that came in just said, man, God's blessing is here. God's anointing is here. I'm fed here. I'm getting refreshed. I said, that's God setting a table. Help me, somebody. I mean, this is God's blessing in your life. Because some of you have been through terrible church relationships, have been through hardships where you should have backslid and you kept serving God. And God says, because you're serving me, I'm going to go ahead and set this table right here where you can come in. This is a place of safety, not the building, but the family. And because this is the family, God, you come in and God puts the hedge around you. I'm talking about God's perfect, perfect provision. You anoint my head with oil. You know what the anointing does? The anointing singles you out. You're different. Go ahead and nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're different. Bible says that you're a chosen generation. Yeah, some of you taking a little too long on that one. Listen, Bible says you're a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation. And God's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Peter says this. Now let me say something here, because God has anointed you with oil so that wherever you go, you bring the presence of God with you. Some of you are walking landmines for the kingdom of God. Wherever you go, there's trouble. You know, we went into Russia. And you know, folks, sometimes God will have you do things that are not ordinary. You know, a bunch of people dressed up in black leathers with these big machines that'll put your ears out. You know, that's peculiar. You know, and matter of fact, those same type of people used to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And now God takes these same people and puts a motorcycle ministry together and uses them. God doesn't do things the way we think they should be done. I was in Russia one day, and we walked into this, every place that you eat in Russia, we were trying to plant a church there. Every place in Russia has a bar there. I mean, all the restaurants, they just have big old bars, and they have the crystal balls that spin and the dance floors. And so we brought a big old team in there, and we decided we're going to have lunch here. About that time, the music cranks up, the crystal balls start spinning. Da-da, da-da-da-da. You know, we're sitting there, we're trying to eat, you know, and they're singing disco in Russian, Slav, da-da-da. You know, and so we're sitting there, we're going, Lord, you know, we came here to save and seek those that are lost, and here they are. And here we are. So how do we handle this? So one of the ladies in the group decides that she wanted to, you know, so they start doing karaoke, you know, and some people say, oh, you shouldn't be in places like, well, this lady went up there and said, give me that microphone. She said, I'd like to sing some karaoke. So she gets up there and she starts singing this gorgeous Christian song. And I mean, the whole Russian place, they had about 400 or 500 people. They just stopped and they stared at her while she did that. And as she sang, then they all went and grabbed their partners and they started slow dancing. And she's singing, you know, oh, how he loves me. You know, I mean, that's really strange. But when you looked a little closer, it was more than just people slow dancing. They had tears coming down their eyes. It's the power and the presence of God began. I'll tell you another story. I mean, and actually, we got up on the platform after that, and we began preaching salvation after we got through singing, and the entire congregation that was there, that group of drinkers and revelers and partiers, many of them gave their lives to Jesus Christ that day and joined the church that we started in that Russian town. You just never know what table God is setting. You never know what God is doing around you while you're walking in a situation. There was a man that actually, a McShian, preacher by the name of McShian, walked into the same situation. There was a ballroom, and he was sitting down there, and he was called to preach in this town, and everybody was out there dancing on the floor. And suddenly, you know, he was eating a meal. That's how a lot of the world, they have these type of places where they eat. And this lady comes and pulls him up to start dancing. Okay, so here's this preacher, great holy man, sitting there with a lady who's wanting to dance with him. And he says, ma'am, he says, excuse me. He says, I'm so honored. He stopped, and everybody stopped and looked at him. You know, one of these E.F. Hutton moments. And he says, I have one thing to say. He says, I'm so honored that you asked me to dance. He says, but before I do anything, he says, I have to pray. And so he drops on his knee, and in the middle of the dance hall, he goes, oh, God. He says, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for these people, Lord, and that today they are seeing a demonstration of your love. And they begin to drop down on their knees one by one, weeping and crying, and they got saved. The whole place got saved. Folks, I'm telling you, you can take anything that you are put into and God can turn it around for His kingdom. I got to go one more place. Let's go to the next slide. Perfect provision. God always provides. My cup runs over. This is my favorite one. My cup runs over. You know, there's joy. There's joy in the whole. There's no reason for you not to have joy. There really isn't. Now, I don't want to, you know, we're to laugh with those that laugh and mourn. I mean, those of you that are going through hard times, I'm not talking about you've suffered loss. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the joy of just knowing that ahead. And let me encourage you, Miss Aletha and Mr. Ricky, that, you know, your son, he's in joy right now. There's joy. As joy in heaven. We mourn here on earth, but when someone goes on before us, there's joy because we know they're sitting with Jesus. And that's the ultimate thing, is that we know that God is there and He's for us. And there's joy in that. You know, in a Christian wedding, or a funeral, there's joy because we're not mourning as those that are going into perdition. We're rejoicing. Part of us is missing them, but we're rejoicing because they know they're with Jesus to live there forever and ever. You know, and we believe that. I mean, if you don't believe that, then don't come to church. Don't go, you know, either you believe it or you don't believe it. Either heaven is real or it's not real. Either there is a God or there isn't a God, but there is a God. And so if you know that, then let your joy be full. You know, I mean, you don't have to walk around like Brother Sonny with a big grin on your face and, "Hi, everybody." You know, you may be more introverted. You know, there are people here that are extra. I could point out all my extroverted type people. Brother Andy. Amen. Brother Leonard. I mean, there are people that are but there are some people that they're just very low-keyed and they're very conservative. And that's okay too, but you can have joy even if that's your personality. You know, you don't have to, even if you kind of got a long face and you know, you're kind of hunched over. You can still have joy. Woohoo! You know, if you have joy, people will want what you got. Now, joy doesn't mean that you're walking around like a silly guy all the time. It just means that whatever comes your way, oh, come on, whatever comes your way, you're good. I love it when I love this one brother. He said, we were stuck in the mud out by our old church, I'll never forget this. We started the church up, and I had to be somewhere for my dad's surprise birthday party. It was storming rain in Louisiana. My van got stuck at the time. We got my tractor out. We hooked the tractor on to the van, and the tractor sunk down up to its wheels. He got his van out there to pull the tractor and my van, and this brother's van got stuck. So I called Steve Juno, and he did like the first service, so he came back the second and third services. And so he brought half of the Gonzales Fire Department with him, and they came out there with all their tow stuff. But I'll never forget that. I looked over the guy. I mean, we're storming. It's dripping down, raining. I had to go visit somebody had just had a loss in their family and trying to do this. And, you know, we're just covered with mud. We can't even get into the new church we started because the stairs are falling down. And that brother looked at me. He says, "Brother Sonny," he said, "it's all good." Everybody say joy. You know, and really, that's what you got to do. Husbands, wives, be careful, you know. You know, husbands, if you tell your wife, "Honey, it's all good," you better choose the right time to say it, you know, because sometimes it don't always go good. But you're but generally speaking, you know, you need to have that attitude like everything's going to be all right. And the only reason it can be all right is because we have the perfect God. Amen. Praise God. Let's finish this up. My cup runs over. "For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Everybody say, "I have purpose and I have destiny." You know, I had something I wanted to give out to some of you, because some of you are really kind of, you're looking you know, you're still trying to balance your Christianity. And I saw this illustration that really might help you. You know, where is the cutoff line of what is good and what is not good for a Christian? You know, a lot of people come to me and they say, "Pastor, is it okay to do this? Or should I do this? Or what do you think about this?" And how do I know if I'm walking the right way? And this illustration is the best way to show that a stick is crooked is not to argue about it or to spend time denouncing it. Help me, somebody. But to lay a straight stick alongside of it. You see? And so if you ever have to wonder about something in your life or something in someone else's life, or what should I do is really the big question. It's not what somebody else should do. What should I do? Just put Jesus. He's the straight stick. He's the perfect God. And when you see Jesus, you'll quit looking at the other guy. You'll quit looking at somebody else and you'll say, "God, my life needs to line up with you in that area. Help me, guys." Amen. When you put Jesus in the perfect God, the perfect Savior, the perfect Comforter, the perfect Provider, and you say, "God, I want my life to conform to that standard." Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." But if there's anything you don't see, still follow Christ. Everybody say, "Follow Jesus." So let me just kind of finish up with this thought. If you'll look to the next slide, I think I do have that on slide. Yeah, there it is. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7. By the way, those of you that were writing that, that'll actually make a good sermon. You know, you can chop that up in little pieces, take a couple of points. Those of you that want to preach, those are good preaching points. You can go in so many directions. 2 Corinthians 7:1 in the New King James Version says, "Therefore, having these promises..." Daughter, can I get you to come up again and do what you did the other day? I just love what Daughter's doing. It buys me 5 extra minutes of preaching time, too, because it's... It says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." Everybody say, "I have these promises." All those promises of Psalms 23 are ours. All the perfect gifts. They're not flawed gifts. They're perfect gifts. Everything from the guidance to the provision. It says, "Therefore, since we have these promises, let's cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit." Oh my. Guys, I tell you, Paul said, "In this body, in this flesh, dwells no good thing." And when you finally figure that out, you're going to have a successful Christian life. But if you think for a second that you can resurrect this old man, clean him up, get him looking good, put on a personality, and live in the world, and yeah, everybody might like you, but you ain't going to like yourself. And your Christianity will not work. The only way that you can really, really serve God is to know that you're a sinner and that you have need for a Savior. Hallelujah. Everybody say, "Flesh can never be resurrected. It can't be destroyed. It can only be crucified." That means day by day, you have to put the flesh to death. And if you will put your flesh to death, then Jesus can live in you. Amen. How many of you are ready for Jesus? Everybody say, "More of me." More of me. Or should I say, "More of thee"? More of me. And less of me. Amen. Amen. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Ask your neighbor. Say, "Neighbor, what would Jesus do?" And now answer that same neighbor. Say, "Jesus would love you." That's what Jesus would do. I need to say this for somebody here today. Guys, God loves everyone. He loves even the most unlovable. Someone would say, Pastor, how can God love me? Can I tell you that He loves you just the way that you are? He accepts you. He died for you. The Bible says in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Let me slow this way down for a minute. You've got to get that point. While we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners. Even while we were still in our sin. Even while we were dirty and unclean. Even while we weren't in church, we're still hanging out in barrooms. Even while we were doing drugs and drinking, having wrong relationships, Jesus loves us. For God so loved the world. Please let that sink in today and go home with that. Because that's really what Psalms 23 is all about. The perfect shepherd, the perfect Savior. For God so loved the world. Now I got to say one thing in this before I'm telling this to those of you that need to bring yourself out of the mud. Some of you have been in the mud wallowing around like little sausage pigs. And God wants you out of the mud. He wants you out of the pig pen. He wants to wash you down and clean you up. He wants you clean and holy. He wants you perfecting the flesh or perfecting holiness, ridding yourself of all filthiness of the flesh. But let me tell you what. He's given you grace. He's given you grace to be holy. He hadn't given you a license to sin. He's given you strength to overcome sin. Help me, somebody. That means you can't go sin all you want this weekend. Go grab your favorite guy, give him a kiss. Go run off to Vegas. And then come to church and say, oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the grace of God. That's not how grace works. Grace means you see yourself as you really are. You say, God, I thank you that I am an unclean person, but Jesus, your grace has given me strength that I say no to my flesh and I walk away from this thing. That's what grace is, folks. Grace isn't just that you can be forgiven of your sin. Grace is that you can walk away from your sin and that you can live perfection in Christ. Everybody say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That scripture back up. It says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, the greasy grace wipes that completely out. Perfecting holiness in the grace of God. That means every day that you live, let me make this practical. Every day that you live, you get a chance to practice holiness or you get a chance to practice sin. Amen? Well, maybe yesterday you didn't do too good. Maybe yesterday you ran your mouth a little too much. You know, maybe yesterday your attitude was just totally, really bad. Maybe yesterday you were living in unbelief, couldn't even believe God for anything. But today, you have the chance to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Yeah. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Would you just reach out across the aisle and grab the hand of your neighbor? I want to pray with you before we're dismissed. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, we want to first begin our prayer this evening as we're closing the service, Lord, to ask God, you would change attitudes. Better me saying a lot right now. Would you just look into your heart and just examine your heart? There was a lot said this morning. You know, and God knows. So why don't you take those areas in your life and make it right with God? It's not about what you can get away with. What are you willing to give God this morning? Bible says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we go to church? Didn't we jump up and down and sing? Didn't we do all these wonderful things? Didn't we smile a lot, jump around? And God says, depart from me. I never knew you. What that means is that you can say Lord all you want, but until you make Him Lord of every area of your life. Jesus is either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And I stand by that statement. And whatever area in your life you need to surrender this morning, I'm asking as the word was preached, God illuminated things in your life. Whether were attitudes, thoughts, actions, past behavior, future intentions. Whatever it is, God, we lay it down before you today. And thank you, Jesus, for this great gathering. Lord, even as the children of Israel were gathered in the book of Nehemiah, God, they had been without the word of God for decades and didn't even know of their condition. But God, you have shown us our condition this morning, that we can walk in holiness. We can walk in perfection. We can walk in perfect love. Yeah, Jesus, Lord, fill every part, fill every life, God. Let your anointing, God, break every yoke. Take religion out of this house, oh God. Take hypocrisy from our lives, oh God. Renew a right spirit within this place, oh God. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill every life. Fill us with joy, fill us with hope. Yeah, yeah. Let the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord flow over this house, oh God. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the cup's running over. Yeah. Oh, fill this house, oh God. Fill my neighbor, Lord. strengthen and fill in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Oh, la la ma si la 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 na na na. Jana ma na ma na 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 na. More of you and less of me. More of you and less of me. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Yeah. That's it.